my dick, and all the motherfuckers that you run with get done with. Come quick, I fuck you for a broken dog or some.
What's up? What up? What up, everybody? All right, y'all. Welcome to Black Culture, The Breakdown. I am your boy, Jersey.
Hold on one second. Some shit. Ain't that some shit?
You're not about to do this today. All right, music? You're not doing this. What up, everybody? What up, Taekwon? I see you in here. Oh, Dance Mogul's on here early. I am late. So we are going to get this conversation started early. And let's get... I wanted y'all to get in here, but let's just get... What's up, y'all? It's Black Culture, The Breakdown. Hey! We got Dance Mogul Magazine in the building, everybody. What's going on, my brother?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. How is everything with you?
Good, man. No complaints. I'm grateful.
Good. Well, welcome to Black Culture, The Breakdown, man. Today's a special episode because it's my birthday. You know what I'm saying?
Happy born.
Excited to just kind of definitely enjoy this live with y'all today and get everything going. But before we even get into all of that, tell the people who you are and exactly what you do.
Well, my name is Anthony Solo Harris. I'm the co-founder of Dance Mogul Magazine. What don't I do, man? As you know, as an entrepreneur, you know, you pretty much do everything when you're trying to grow your businesses and grow your brand. So I wouldn't say that, you know, I know how to do everything, but, you know, I know how to, you know, do what I need to do to push myself and the brand forward and also just, you know, helping other people as well.
Okay.
Yes.
So now talk to us about what Dance Mogul Magazine is. What's up, gospel artist, C-U-G-A? Well, tell us what...
Dance Mogul is a platform, not only just for dancers, but the purpose of Dance Mogul is inspiring self-empowerment. So with that at the forefront, the empowerment part, the self-empowerment part, it really shows people that, you know, anything that you want to do, you can do it yourself. You know, you can self-empower yourself and get things done yourself. And it made such a connection with dance because, as you know, dancers usually rely on people to give them things, opportunities, gigs, and things like that. But I come from a background with dance where I was self-sufficient because I was raised by my father, who was a street dancer as well. So he's been by my side, you know, all my life. So whenever I would run into roadblocks with dance and like the industry and just anything in general, he'd be like, yo, go do it yourself. And so that just steered into the magazine as well. Like, all right, dancers, you don't have a voice. All right, now the magazine is your voice. Oh, my man, you need some graphics, this, that, and the third. Oh, well, we can do that. We could do that for you. Everything that everybody was kind of complaining about, like in the past, 15 years, it's like, yo, you can just do it yourself. Like, nobody's coming to save you. Nobody's coming to sign you. You have to do the work and put in the work yourself. So that is what we lead with. And I think that that's what separates us from everybody else and just even including the industry. While we do go back and forth with the industry in terms of, you know, who we showcase and highlight, but we're not dependent on it. You understand what I'm saying? So our publication is free to say and do whatever we want in terms of empowering dancers because we're not funded by this one or that one. So we don't have to watch our mouth and things like that. We can move freely and we can actually genuinely help.
Absolutely.
Yes,
man. First of all, the fact that you're even giving dancers a platform to even be able to be seen is a major deal because dancers don't necessarily get the recognition that they deserve, you know? And I do feel like dancers, one of the biggest foundations of why hip hop is relevant and why, you know, a lot of stuff that really makes it revolves around dance, and we don't really get that recognition. So we applaud anybody and the fact that you would give a platform to dancers and choreographers and people alike to even showcase their gift and just what they have to say. So we clap it up.
Appreciate it.
Definitely. All right, so now. So that's Dance Mogul Magazine, y'all. Just in case y'all ain't know, make sure y'all tap in and go follow Dance Mogul Magazine. They're giving dancers a platform. I see a few dancers on here right now, so y'all know what's up. All right? Now,
what's up, Opium?
Now, let me ask you this. What does it take to start your own magazine? So for anyone get into the game or just, you know, publications, what does it actually take to actually get that going?
Understood. Now, that's actually a great question. And it goes right aligned with the whole self-empowerment thing. When me and my dad first started, it was just a concept. It was an idea. And it was like, all right, let's try to do it. And then you start realizing, well, what does this shit actually take to do it? My dad, the way that his mind worked, because he's such a perfectionist, he wanted the best. He's like, if I'm going to do this with you, Anthony, it has to be the best. We have to produce the best. We have to know what's going on. So what my dad did, he studied what paper is Vogue using? What point paper is Vogue and Oprah using? Like, he went and looked at the best and he saw what everybody was presenting. And he was like, okay, that's cool. One, we can do better. And two, you know, when we bring that type of class to dance, now we automatically start elevating the craft, because, you know, this whole time dance is always looked at as this behind the scenes and background type of, you know, concept. And it's like, oh nah, we not that. With Dance Mogul, the dancer, the choreographer, the artistic director, they're the ones in the front. So everything that we did, it had to represent the best in order to show the best of not only the craft, the culture, but definitely the individual. So that's where it started, finding out those things in terms of the physical part of printing a magazine. Then you have to find printers. Printers are crazy expenses over here. Then you find out that it's cheaper to print overseas. Of course, you find those things out. But then there's also finding out about how to go through customs and things like, as you know, everything is money. So it's not so much what to find out, because the information is all there. It's just that, what are you willing to pay for? You understand what I'm saying? And then we ran into I want to say publishers that would want to charge us fees in order to put our magazine on the newsstands. They would want to give us 60-40 cuts. And it was like, hold up, we're going to create the whole magazine, we're going to do all the work, and you want to give us a 60-40 split of what we made? Nah, that don't even make no sense. So again, it goes into, you know, well, we have our own website and we can create our place where people can come and buy the magazine ourselves, just cut out the middleman, just like James Brown was doing with his stuff. So that's pretty much it. You know, it's all there. Especially digital, like MadCloud, like all these, they have all these different publishing companies now that you can, you know, use and distribute to books, magazine, whatever you want to do. You understand? It's just a matter of finding what works for you, and especially always just cutting out that middleman and just that unnecessary, you know, well, you need us. No, we don't. No, yeah. We don't. We figured that out within the first year. We figured out everything we didn't need within the first year. You understand what I'm saying? And it's year 11 now.
Wow. Let's clap it up for that. Year 11 is super dope, man. So appreciate go ahead, it. People, some of the people that you actually got a chance to feature on the magazine, and some of the stars, and some of the entrepreneurs and people that are building. Talk to us about that.
Well, man, that list is endless, man. And I'm truly grateful for everybody that came on board, whether you came on board in the beginning, in the middle, or even, you know, now, like yourself. Like, we truly appreciate it, because I never had an expectation of who I could meet or who I wanted to interview and things like that. Things just started rolling, and it went from my childhood heroes like Shabadoo and Michael Chambers, you know, Ozone and Turbo, Mr. Wiggles, all these people that I was first inspired by when I was younger. It's like, who haven't I done, bro? Jacquel, Bankhead, like everybody, you like. I can tell you, like, the two conglomerates that I haven't gotten would be the Nappy Tabs and the Ortega brothers. That's it. Everybody else I done got or came across or got they man. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, because it's 6 degrees of separation. Everybody knows somebody that knows somebody that know you or know the other person. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not nobody that I haven't covered. Frank Gatson has been one of my favorites. Definitely always supporting. Miss Debbie Allen, that was a great experience doing that. So for me, bro, like that's the mountaintop. So it's like with Frank and Debbie, it's like, all right, well, who else and what else? You understand what I'm saying? Like, and that's not a bragging thing. It's just that I never thought that I would be able to sit down and pick the brains of some of these great people in dance, and I have. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's not just for me. I get to pass this down to the young people that I interact with, and I get to teach, that I still teach, you know, to this day. So I'm really self-empowering myself through the magazine to give to the next generation. As it's like in real time. I'm doing it in real time.
Absolutely. Man, dope, bro.
Yes.
Come on. I hope y'all understand like what's even going on. Just from the big people back down to even the people we consider the little people. But everybody's just people.
Everybody matters, bro. That's the thing. Everybody matters.
Everybody matters. And the fact that your publication gives a spotlight to everybody is super dope. So we would clap. So talk to us about we doing a collaboration, man. Go ahead and tell the people what we got coming up.
Understood. Like when you ask me, so and this is not just a you thing. Like a lot of people ask, and it's like the first thing that comes to me and my pop's mind is like, all right, well, it has to have a purpose. It has to mean something, because creating magazines, is easy for us to do now. Like that's easy. We can create a magazine in 2 weeks. Like this, it's not that hard. We got the flow of it. So we have to start thinking like, well, what is it about this magazine that's going to represent us in the best light, represent the person, and actually have a purpose that has some longevity, you know, to it? So when I looked at you in totality and saw everything you were doing and seeing that, you know, of course you're into dance or whatever, but you're also into media. I think that, and this is kind of, I want to tap into this, save it more so for our interview, when I interview you. The importance of media, the importance of dancers having media, like real media, not the here today, gone tomorrow type media, or the people that don't really care. They just want the clicks and they just want your views and stuff like that. We not here for none of that. You understand what I'm saying? Because we can care less about views, likes, and all of that stuff. We're not TMZ. Like we're real media, and we're really trying to put our people, you know, first, you know, and in the front, you know, where they belong. It's been so many years that so many people have been behind these multi-million-dollar projects and you don't know who they are. It's like, what? Like, what's going on? But now we living in a time where people don't have to stand in the background no more. And now that they're not in the background because of social media, now media should be celebrating these people. Just like we celebrated Jay-Z, we celebrated Diddy, we celebrated Master P. We celebrated these people all these years on The Source, on It Is, The Vibe. So now it's time to celebrate the people that deserve it.
Man, that's 100% facts, man. And I think that the fact that you're even bringing it back to that, we did used to celebrate people that were excellent in their field, but not just in their field. It was wider than that. You know what I'm saying? That's what made Jay-Z dope. He's not just a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what made Puffy dope. He ain't just a rapper. So it's about really just kind of getting to a space that is just doing a little bit more than what it is that you actually said you was doing. Super dope, bro. And I love the concept. And I'm excited to just even, you know, do the interview with you and do this
class. Yeah. Definitely, because it's important. This whole exchange, bro, this is important, because I see, first of all, I guess you can call me, because I'm in media, you can call me a journalist, reporter, or whatever. I don't really, because I don't do it, so I'm not going to call myself that. But if you look at the act of what I do that. I do investigate. I do see this. I do see that. I see what everybody's doing. You understand what I'm saying? Because I love the culture. I love dance. So it's my job to recognize what's going on and who's doing it. So I see more media coming out, and I'm appreciative of that, because it only going to shine the light more on not only what we're doing, but just what dancers are doing as a whole in terms of the profession being more valuable and profitable, that it's not just this behind the scenes thing, or it's not just this social media TikTok thing. Like, no, it's actually... it's a real thing. It's a real profession, and people should respect it just like they respect anything else. So I see all the media conglomerates and things like that listed, which is why I told you that. But why don't I just bring attention to all the people, you know, doing the media thing? And then when you came, it was like, okay, that's a sign, like, he's in media. Like, well, let's lead with that. Let's lead with the people that are going to be helping to support the dancers. And I think dancers have to recognize that too. We when we're so close to each other, it's like, oh yeah, cool, thanks. But if Red Bull or somebody came and highlight you, oh my God, thank you, Red Bull. This it's like, huh? Like that they not even really from the culture. They're not from the culture. They're not of the culture. So, and again, I told you I could say all these things because don't nobody back us. So I'm not afraid of nobody. I don't gotta watch my mouth. It's like, nah, we do that. The dancers do be doing that. When it's your own people putting you on and supporting you, it's like, oh yeah, cool, thanks. But if it was World of Dance, it's like, oh my God. And it's like, where is that show? Didn't that show just get canceled?
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? Like that, when you unpurposeful, that's the type of shit that happened. But when you on purpose, you here forever, because when you're on purpose, you're always relevant.
Absolutely. Bro, you knocking it straight out the park. This is the same story I preach all the time. And I'm so happy to be around even like-minded individuals, because sometimes in this dance game, I feel like people are a little bit brainwashed, you know what I'm saying? And they follow, you know, whatever they find is trendy at the moment, you know what I'm saying? But it's just about longevity and being around authenticity, you know what I'm saying?
Most definitely. The programming is real, bro. And, you know, we from Jersey. So you know why we connect too? Because you from Jersey, right? Mm. You know that Jersey has the same fight overall that dance has. Dancers are ignored and pushed to the background. Jersey itself is ignored and pushed to the background because of the bright lights in New York and the griminess of Philly. So we always had, I don't know about you, we always had to create something from nothing all the time. So it wasn't never no handouts on this end. You understand what I'm saying? So even being in the game now and being in the industry, I'm moving and shaking. I'm like, okay, I see this, I see that, you know, that's cool, or I'm not impressed by that. Like, it's just like, because I don't want anything from anybody. I just want to see people succeed, and I want the culture to succeed as a whole. I want us to succeed as a whole. Like, I'm not looking for anything from anybody. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely, bro. I completely understand what you're saying. Bro, you were super dope, and I appreciate you coming on here and just keeping it all the way real.
Definitely, bro.
And I'm excited to just keep this collaboration going. And you are not going to be a stranger on Black Culture. You got to definitely have you come in here once in the blue and just give us what's going on in dance media. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that would be super dope. But, bro, I appreciate you coming on.
No doubt, man.
Finishing the conversation soon.
Definitely. See you Tuesday.
I'll see you Tuesday, bro.
All right, man. Peace.
Seeing everybody. All right, y'all. So that was Dance Mogul Magazine. I'm not sure if y'all are familiar, but y'all need to get familiar, right? He's interviewed everybody from Debbie Allen.
Yes!
Okay, that's some queens out here. Now, let's get into the next conversation. I got GA Entertainment waiting on me. I'm running behind schedule today. But we're about to get on here.
Yes!
My schedule. But it's my birthday, y'all. I'm celebrating, all right? I'm celebrating. Oh, what up, Gospel?
What up, man?
What up, Algin? Welcome to Black Culture, the Breakdown.
Man, appreciate it, man.
Of course. My brother, you always on here. You always show love. Thank you so much for just always being a part of my show. And you know what I'm saying? And that does not ever go for granted. You've been doing some episodes now, right? You've been here.
Listen, I'm always here. You know, anytime you need to hit me up, man, hit me up.
Yes.
You have my support, and I couldn't miss your birthday live.
Okay. Tonight. Okay.
I always want to make sure that I'm supporting my brother.
I appreciate you, bro. You definitely one of my brothers too, man. I definitely needed you here to just celebrate, you know, a milestone. 30 is kind of like. You understand?
Yeah.
but it is, I'm going to say this, it's almost like when you feel like you've worked so hard and you see the fruits of your labor, it's
right.
A good feeling to feel like you're getting somewhere and you have something to show for your journey. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man.
And, you know, so, and we already know when you hit 30, you're going to be like, all right. So
listen, listen, I'm only 2 years away from it. So right. I'm not in no rush.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Bro, let's get into this. RIP to DMX, and his homecoming was today. In Brooklyn, that's where I'm at right now, over here. Not today, I'm lying. It was yesterday. In Brooklyn by the Barclays Center. And that's the song that I came out to today. He's one of my favorite rappers. I'm not sure if you're familiar with DMX music, but he's definitely one of my favorite rappers. And I'm just RIP to DMX. Any words on
He made a huge impact within the music industry. It was just, you know, it's still hard to believe that he's gone.
Yes.
You know? Because when you are an influencer like that and you have such a big influence amongst the people, not just within, you know, the secular industry, but all across the world, it's like, you know, and then all of a sudden you're gone. It's like it's a hard hit for the industry. So it's still, it's I don't know, it just feel like some people just should not be gone yet. But unfortunately, you know, it was his time. We wasn't expecting it, but, you know, DMX definitely made a huge impact, and, you know, he will forever be remembered, and, you know, his legacy will forever live on, man.
That's 100%.
Yes!
His legacy will forever live on. Long live X. He's done movies, like, you know, blockbuster movies with Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Ellie. Remember I had Terrell Hicks on?
I remember that.
She did the movie with DMX.
Wow.
That was her big break in Belly.
Wow. You know? That's crazy.
It's interesting how everything just kind of comes full circle, but we got to start giving these artists that do legendary things their roses while they're here. You know?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely, yeah.
We was talking even about Cicely Tyson the other day when she passed, and it's just like we keep having to say RIP, RIP, RIP. Like, what's going on?
I'm so tired of seeing RIP. I mean, I know life happens, and I know we all have to go at some point, but it's just like, it's just back to back. It's just, you know, and, you know, I mean, people die every day, but I think it hits differently when there are people who are leaving us that have had some type of positive impact in our lives. Like Cicely Tyson, she was, what, 90 in her 90s? 96 or something like that? Mm-hmm. She's like 96?
Definitely like 96. And I feel like lived that long is already a testimony to just...
I was just like, Lord, let her get to 100, you know? But she was ready. She was ready to go. And, you know, I mean, she was, you know, up in age, but it's just like everybody couldn't help but to love Cicely Tyson. And so, yeah. So I just feel like some people, it's just like, you know, why they're gone. Yes. You know, that's how we felt about Whitney Houston. That's how we felt about Michael Jackson, Prince, you know? So.
Yes. Okay. First of all, I just feel like, why do our legends go so young? That is a real conversation. It's a real question. But everyone that we kind of put, especially our peoples, I ain't going to hold you. Madonna is still here. I don't even mean to throw race out here, but I just feel like I don't understand why our prize and jewels got to go so early. You know what I'm saying? And it's the people that we say are the most gifted, like Michael and the Whitneys and the Princes. And it's devastating, you know what I'm saying? But we got to make sure we take care of us, and I think that's where it starts.
Yeah, and the Black community have endured so much. I think I think the Black community have encountered so many more situations than any other race. And I'm not a person where, you know, I just, you know, I'm like, you know, this race is better than the other, you know, whatever. I love all people of all races, of all cultures, of all nationalities. I love all people.
Yes!
You know, but because I am African-American, Black,
man.
I experienced Black Lives Matter, you know. Okay. So, So we, but experiencing all of this, you know, in the Black community, leaves a mark that is unforgettable. We have history. We have things that we have encountered. You know, we have things that we have, you know, faced in life. And I just feel like that, you know, we endure way more situations than any other race, just to be honest, you know? And so I think somebody said it was just their time. And it may, and you know, it probably was their time. It probably was their time. But given the fact,
I feel like because they reached such a superstardom that they lived the life of three or four people. You know, sometimes they say that when you do that success at that rapid pace, you live in the lives of four men, four women, you know, that don't even ever see even a portion. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So is it because it's too accelerated is why they don't get a chance to see a full life? What do you think?
I don't know. I really don't know. Because everybody have their own life expansion. I mean, we never know who's going to leave. Okay. We never know when we're going to leave. You know, we have, that's the only thing. The only thing that we don't know in life is when we're going to die. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But it is up to us to make sure that we prepare ourselves daily, you know, for when we do die. Like, our whole mission and our whole goal is to leave a positive impact when we leave. What are people going to remember us by? Our legends who have gone on, a lot of our legends who have gone on, we remember them because of their works and what they've done, mm-hmm. you know, and it's unfortunate that they leave us like this, you know, but going back to what they were saying, I mean, it's their time. It was probably their time, unfortunately.
And, you know, it's like you just never know, because I feel like in this climate, you could wake up and thinking like you're invincible, because look at, you know, Kobe and Gigi. Who would have like Gigi? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? And not even just Gigi, it was the fact that even on that plane there were several other kids. So it almost like there's no mercy anymore, if that makes sense. Like it's just like and we're so kind of like accustomed to death that we're all becoming like immune to it. You don't feel like immune, like it don't even like it's always like, oh, who just died again? Like you am I bugging?
Yeah. No, I totally get it, because it seems like that. Absolutely, I totally get it. And I agree with you. In life, we have a tendency to have this expectation of wanting to live forever. The only way we can live forever is if we die.
That's the only way.
Yes!
That's the only way we can live forever, because a lot of people don't understand, or they may, but there are people who probably don't understand that after this life, there is another life. There is another life. This life is temporary. Mm-hmm. This life is, you know, this is, you know, there's a song out by a gospel artist named John Piki. He sings a song and it says, I'm living this life just to live again. Mm-hmm. And so basically meaning that we are in, as long as we're in flesh,
okay,
we're here temporarily, but it's our spirit that lives forever. So when it comes down to, you know, having this expectation of, oh my God, we're gonna die. I mean, some people, now granted, some people, they're not afraid of dying. It's like, sure, if I die tonight, sure, oh well, you know. You have other people where it's like, Lord, let me live as long as I can. I don't want to die, you know. And so, and you know, people have their own thoughts. But at the end of the day, when our time is up, our time is just up. We don't even know our time.
Time is up. But do you feel like people can put themselves in situations that clip their wings a little bit earlier than they supposed to? Or do you feel like when it's just your time, it's just your time?
I really feel like in some situations death can be avoided.
Hmm.
Death can be avoided.
It can
and get some it can be avoided, but it's up to us. Let me tell you, and can't nobody make us do anything. Mm. Can't nobody make us do anything. It is our own choices and our own decisions whether we want to continue living life, mm-hmm. or if you just want to do something dumb that's gonna cause us to get killed. It wouldn't make sense for me to be like, oh, I want to live to see 100 years old. I'm 27, about to be 28. Mm-hmm. I want to live to see 100 years old, but then the next day I go and commit murder, and then I end up getting myself killed, or I end up having my life taken away from me, having to spend my time in jail, getting a life sentence because I went to go do something dumb. That was the choice that I made. So everything is by a choice. It is. We do choice. Now, the only time that we don't have a choice is if we die naturally. If there's like a natural death, because there is a such thing as a natural death where you can be in perfect health and then your life can just be taken like that. Because it was literally your time. That's what we can't control. However, we have the power to be able to make our own decisions, but it's up to us whether we want to make a decision that's going to allow us to continue to live the life, or make the decision where it's going to end our life.
Definitely. I completely agree.
Yes.
Man, you're on the money, man, and you always on the money,
Al. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you coming on and dropping these gems. I see Mr. Michael on here talking about he missing the Academy Awards. By the way, we got Mr. Michael Courier, legendary Mr. Michael Courier, on the live right now.
What's up, man?
But Algin, I appreciate you, man, just coming in and just being a light and being a vessel, because that's what it's about. And if you don't educate, and when you got these gems in here, you got to give it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I appreciate you, because you don't
have... Anytime, man.
All right, man. Appreciate you. We're going to see you soon. And let me get Mr. Michael on here, but I'm going to see you soon, bro. Let everybody know where they can find you.
Yes, sir. So you can go follow me. Follow my business page, GA Entertainment Official, or GAENT Official right here. And you can go follow my personal page, which is Officially Aldrin. That's it. Just Officially Aldrin, Aldren. Go follow me. Stay connected, you know, and... let's see what's next in life for me. You know,
Definitely. So, yeah.
I appreciate you, Jersey. You always count me in, bro. Thank you so much, man.
Man, you always count me in, bro. Everybody, gospel artist, entertainment, Mr. Cut.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. So that was Gospel Artist Entertainment, GA Entertainment, Mr. Algin McCullough. And make sure y'all go follow him if y'all don't already do that. He has the largest gospel media platform in the world, okay?
Yes.
Clap it up for Black Excellence. Money as well. But let's get the legendary Mr. Michael Courier on the live right now, because I'm about to get into these real conversations. All right? What up, everybody? Black Culture The Breakdown, episode 16.
Hey. Are y'all still talking about dead people yet?
Yeah, we done talking about
that was close as I get on my bow tie, man. I was in here watching the Academy Awards, man.
First of all, let me tell you something about the Academy Awards. Until they got a Black Academy Awards, you need to maybe find something else to watch.
About 7 black people to 1 already, and they just started. You know, the brother from Get Out. He just won for Judas and Judas and the Black Messiah. He just won for actor on that just now. The people who did hair and makeup just won for that show as well. The brother who played music for the movie Mank. He a cold brother who also does the music for I think he does the music for Jimmy Kimmel. He just won. Brothers winning left and right. And my girl gonna win tonight, man. Yeah. Viola Davis gonna win, man.
Oh, come on.
But I'm sitting here fooling with you while y'all talking about dead people. I'm not sure what's going on.
But Michael, let me ask you this. You've been in the game for so long. You don't feel like they just now want to recognize black people because it's a trend?
I don't think they want to recognize black people just now or any other time. But we getting ours because we're doing our thing, bro. You know, we're bringing the most excellence to the table, and we're getting around that BS they use to keep us out.
Absolutely.
But even if they was doing it because they think it's a trend, the whole thing is to get the prize, man. Get the prize. Get the money, man. Get the Academy Award. Be able to go ahead and write your ticket for your next movie. And I don't guarantee you will. But it's a better opportunity. It's a better chance you're going to have more opportunities if you win these awards. And if not, and you get the recognition by just the acknowledgement of it. The very fact that you get nominated, you're in that group of folks. A lot of folks don't even know we exist. And then they see us on a show like that, and they go, wow, he could be perfect on this project or that project. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't deal with a lot of cynicism. You know, with me, I'm about optimism, man. You know, there are no limitations, man.
Yes, first of all, Mr. Michael Courier is on the live, everybody.
Please ignore this chicken. This chicken don't have nothing to do with it.
And first of all, you coming on here with that chicken. Then, secondly, you coming on here dropping gems already. If y'all didn't know, make sure y'all work so hard that y'all get an Academy Award, y'all. Like that is absolutely the way to
be. Yes.
If you're gonna do anything though, no matter what it is, you wanna be able to get whatever the greatest prize is in that thing you do. In acting, if it's film, it's gonna be Academy Awards. If it's television, it's gonna be an Emmy. If it's theater, it's gonna be a Tony. Why would you wanna do it and not get the Tony Award? You wanna get the greatest accolade possible, because that is your peers saying you were the best of the best. You know what I'm saying? I talked to my girl Tiffany Haddish the other day. She showed me her fireplace with all those awards she got up there. She, you know, she just won that Grammy, and she got an Emmy, and she got all these awards. And I said, but where you putting the Academy Awards? She said, I'm gonna move them over and put it right there. You know, it's not that we're trying to chase any symbolic thing, but it's about you want to win the prize. Like, you go boxing, but you don't want the belt. That belt, I don't want that. I don't want that championship belt, man. No, you want the belt. That's why you're boxing. You want the prize.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So if you want to put the fun of it, you better get out of the man's kitchen. You know what I'm saying? You got to do it.
Well, good evening, brother. How are you? And thank you for inviting me on today. How you doing?
I'm feeling great, man. Thank you so much for coming on the Black Culture. Let's bring it back to the beginning. We're already getting to the meat. We got to bring it back to the beginning, man. Michael, you've been in the game so long.
114 years, yes. And incidentally, I'm going to say this now. I'm going to say it again before I leave. I have a morning show, ladies and gentlemen, every morning. I'd be running this road most of the time. It's called the Michael Kaya Morning Show. All you got to do is go to YouTube and put in the Michael Kaya Morning Show. It comes on live at 7 a.m. 5 days a week, 7 a.m. Pacific time. You know, so if you over there on the East Coast, it's 10 a.m. If you're in the Midwest, it's 9 a.m. Hour and a half of comedy, music, and witty conversation. And halfway through, we pray. We do that air day, well, 5 days a week. We've done 183 shows. So y'all should jump in and check us. And you don't have to see it live. If you ain't up early enough to see the show, wait till late in the afternoon. Go to the Michael Kaya Morning Show on YouTube and watch it later in the day. It's still going to be fresh.
Okay. Y'all heard what you said? And y'all can watch it. It's free.
Yes. It's free. It's free is great.
And make sure if y'all follow me or follow Michael, y'all can follow that. It's free.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Y'all can follow me on my Cash App. That's $ Michael Kaya's money.
Cash
app, that
one ain't free.
Keep it short and funny. He be on my show all the time. That's my call sign. Woo, woo, woo. You hear somebody say woo, 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 you know they've been watching the Michael Kaya Morning Show play.
Oh, they've been watching the woo, woo, woo. All right, I'm going to be doing
that. Right. That's right.
I'm going to definitely shout you out with that.
Miss Blue is about to do my morning show this week. Miss Blue's name just went better. I think she's either doing Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah.
What's going on, Miss Blue? Now, Michael, let's bring this, walk us back from the beginning. How did you get into the game? Bring it back.
What is the game that I'm in?
Man, you a comedian. You an actor. You a, come on. You've built such a career. I want to
know. Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair. You know, I'm an artist, first and foremost. I'm an artist. If I get my blessings right, I'm also a motivational speaker and a healer. you know? So, you know, I want to always also be a giver. You're talking about the Academy Awards. They have their biggest award they give every year for a human, the Humanitarian Award on the Academy Awards. Tonight they gave it to Tyler Perry for all the stuff he's doing to help people. And then Tyler came up, well, first, what's my girl's name, Viola Davis?
Viola Davis,
she came up to give the award to him and just start listing all the wonderful things he'd done for people. Feed 1,000 people at Thanksgiving, you know, buy clothes for everybody, pay for people's house notes, you know, just because he want to help people. Then he went up and told an amazing story about helping this homeless woman who needed shoes and a lesson he learned from it. That's what I'm just saying. I'm taping it, though, so you ain't really make me miss nothing. That way, when I go back, I can fast forward past white people and just get to my folks. All right, I'm sorry, go ahead. So anyway, I started out as an actor in high school. You know, I always wanted to be an artist, an entertainer. I didn't know I could make money being a comedian. If you go back that far, I started in 85 doing comedy, and that's how I looked in 85. Oh. And I would stand on the street, and people would stand around me and tell jokes, and they put their hat in that box. They put my money down in that box. They would pay me. I'd tell jokes and pass the hat. That was on Rush Street. Matter of fact, Oprah Winfrey used to come there and watch me, and she tipped. But I started out in the street performing with comedy.
Watch you?
Oh, yeah. Oprah used to come to Rush Street all the time. Rush Street in Chicago, that's the tourist area. That's where all the people with the money go. Everybody's fly. That's where they go for lunch. That's where they go. If you're out of town, you want to go to the hot spot, you go to Rush Street. So I would set up my street performance right there. And she would come by and do lunch. Back then, she wasn't huge. She was big, but she wasn't huge. She had really just got to ABC television, you know. She was first just on the local. Then she went to ABC National, you know, and then she started really getting juicy. She would come down to Rush Street and get her lunch, man, you know. So I started as an actor and a comedian, but, you know, I didn't make no money acting, but comedy paid me. So I just started doing street performance, you know. And I did street performance in Chicago in 85. And then winter came. Wasn't nobody trying to hear no jokes on State Street in December. So I sold everything that wouldn't fit in my car. I had a 1967 Buick LeSabre. And I took that money and what would fit my car, and I drove to California to find the beach where I knew I could work all year round, no matter what the weather was. It never got too cold to work. And that's what got me to L.A. Then I do Venice Beach, and everybody named Mama coming to Venice Beach. All the actors, all the directors, you know. Don Cheadle would come watch me all the time. Young Snoop would come out with Tupac. Lawrence Fishburne, when he was still Larry, would come out. You know, so everybody comes to Venice, you know. Arsenio Hall came. He brought Eddie Murphy. Who's the brother? Fire, baby. Who sings that song? Rick James. Rick James came all the time. So everybody would make their way to Venice Beach. And then I was the king of Venice Beach. So they'd make it to my show. So I would get auditions all over the place. And that's how I started getting little TV roles here, movie roles there. My first movie with Robert Townsend, Hollywood Shuffle. I just started on Venice Beach, you know. So from that, you know, I sort of massaged it. Went to clubs. Did what you're supposed to do in this town. Audition, get your headshots, do the stuff, meet people. Everything's about relationships and communication. So communicating with the right people, find out about the jobs, doing the job, man. It's just like anything, man. If you apply yourself, it don't matter what it is, you can make it happen. If you're willing to apply yourself daily.
Yes.
You know? That sounds like some guy from a porno movie that's coming.
Nope. Okay.
Okay. Dope is better. Yeah. That other you went yes. I'm like what?
No, Michael. That's definitely not. That's my sound effects. My hand sound effects on black.
Yeah.
First of all, you dropped so many gems in that rant. I want to even just circle back. You mentioned so many heavy hitters that you didn't even see you, but then you also dropped another gem and you said the connection. How important was?
How important is what now?
How important was building connections to get you to your next gig and networking? How important was that?
Dude, I wish I was better at it, you know? Networking is everything, you know? And I burned tons of bridges because, you know, I was an addict. Or I guess when you're an addict, you're always an addict, you know? So I did crack for 23 years. And as of March 1st, I have 10 years of pure sobriety. But during those addicted days, I'm sure I stepped on a lot of toes and said some things that I probably shouldn't have said. And so I don't even have the kind of connections that I really should be able to have, you know? But everything's in divine order. You know, God runs everything. So I'm exactly what I'm supposed to be. You know, there he go coming again. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. But what I think is, though, I push people all the time about the importance of networking. You wanna know people. If you know the right people who can get you into places, that's part one. The second part is how you talk to those people. You know, people spend money and help folks that they like. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't care what you do with 50 other people to do it. Who they gonna do it with? Somebody that's a pain in the ass, or somebody that they like, someone that they have a fellowship with, somebody they feel good about, you know? So you just wanna be personable. You want to meet the right people. Whenever you go in crowded places, you want to network, man. Do you have business cards?
I do have business cards.
Thank you for having them. I can't tell you how many people call themselves being in the business. They don't have business cards. I don't use no business cards. Man, that old school, man. I put it in a phone. Nigga, you will get lost in my phone. 6,000 people. You will get lost. I'm supposed to find you in my phone. I'm supposed to remember you in my phone. You're going to make it to the phone, too, if our conversation is worth anything. But the main thing is you want to slip that card, preferably a card with your picture on it. A clear, easy to read card, not some card where your eyeballs got to bleed. I'm trying to see if I have one card. Your eyeballs got to bleed because the letters are so tiny. Wait, I have one of my cards. Okay, my card has my picture on it.
Okay.
You know, man of God, who I am, says what I do, all my social media information and my phone number. Okay. It's all right there at a glance. Okay. You ain't got to squint to see it. And if you're going through a bunch of cards and this fall on the table, the thing you're going to see is that one little picture. Who is that little card to? Oh, that nigga. I love that nigga. So you want to have a card with a clear picture of you and clear words that they can read. And don't fill it up with words. People don't want to read a book. Just give them a way to get to you. And people who don't use their phones fascinate me, too. No, just text me. Or just give me an email. I just hired a girl to do my morning show this week, who performed with me night before last in Greenville, okay, South Carolina. She's amazing, named Jess. She gave me her card. Her card and her phone number. So she's relying on me emailing her. I'm old school because I'm an old dude. I ain't never emailing her. Now, my producer might, but I told her I saw her again. I said, no, you give me a number. I'm going to reach you by a number. But how can you lose if you use all the tools, you know? So people might want to just text you. Some people don't, like, I talked to Tiffany. Tiffany don't want people to text her. She don't want that. She got so many texts. I interviewed her on another show that I do. I do a show every Wednesday night called Superstar Interviews. Okay. On that one, I interview two superstars per hour. It's every Thursday night on Instagram at 6 p.m. Los Angeles time, 8 p.m. Chicago time, or Midwest, 9 p.m. On the East Coast where you are. And I've interviewed Wyclef Jean, Russell Simmons, Dougie Fresh, Yolanda Adams, Fred Hammond, just got through doing Method Man, and Tiffany Haddish came on, did 40 minutes. And when she was talking to me, she was like, you know, I'll be writing these letters, I'll be returning letters. I'm like, letters? You talking about emails or you talking about actual letters? And she got up and left the room and came back with a sack of letters big as a Santa Claus bag and reached in and pulled out the letters. She said, I get letters all the time. And she said, and I write 10 back. I write back 10 a day. That's all I can do. She said, but I can't do but 10. So if you've been writing me a letter, Tiffany Haddish said, you've been writing me a letter and I haven't got back with you, don't think I'm ignoring you. But you somewhere in that bag, I'm gonna get to you eventually, you know? But the whole point is, she said, but I don't want nobody texting me. Mm-hmm. Call me. If you got my number, call me, don't text me. Because she got too many texts. So you want to cover all the bases.
Yeah, yeah.
If you got your number on, they know how to text you. If you got your email on, they know how to reach you through email. You know, if you got a strong phone number, they can reach you that way. If you don't want nobody to get your number, then I don't know what to tell you, but I ain't hiding from nobody. I ain't scared of nobody. My number everywhere, my shit everywhere. If you can't find me, you ain't looking for me. I'm in the Yellow Pages, and they don't even sell the Yellow Pages no more.
They don't.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, so now you're not afraid to just connect with anybody. How important is it for you to connect with people on the ground?
Well, I think you should connect with everybody because everybody has worth. everybody's important in their own way. But in general, everybody's important. Mm-hmm. Everybody has value. You know, so you should connect with everybody if you have talent. Like I'm fortunate in my infortunates, if that's a word. Mm-hmm. Like I would say I'm not getting all the money and stardom that people think I have. Mm-hmm. They just see me and think of me like that. So I'm a hustler still. I'm still working daily on my grind. I hope to get to a point where I can't talk to you. I won't get to a point where I can't talk to you. You got to talk to three other people to get to me because I'm busy doing my other projects. But I ain't there yet. So that gives me the luxury to be able to talk to anybody. I talk to everybody. And you don't never know who you're talking to. Once again, watching the Academy Awards.
Yes.
They talked about a guy who just won tonight as a director. But he started out as the guy who got the coffee for everybody because he just wanted to be in the business. They said he'd come in at 3 a.m. in the morning to bring coffee to everybody while they're shooting the film. He became a PA, and from the PA, he went on to be an assistant. He went on to start learning. People track. Just won his Academy Award tonight. So you don't know who you're talking to. The guy you're talking to that's delivering a coffee today could be running the studio tomorrow. So you don't ever know who you're talking to. So you should never take airs as though you're better than anybody. Because, you know, with me, I feel like just, I ain't better than nobody, and ain't no motherfucker better than me. Okay, so I just think we're on an evil plane, and it's how you treat people, man. You know, people may not remember what you bought them or what you said about them, but people will always remember how you treated them. So you don't know, treat everybody decent. Snoop Dogg's mama, they're throwing a party for her next week. And they called me and said, you know, Michael, we're doing a tape. Can you do like a 60-second or less tape for Snoop's mom? You know, she's an evangelist. And I said, I would love to. I love Snoop, you know? And when I was doing the tape, what I was saying on the tape too, though, is I applaud her as a mother. Because mm-hmm. you could tell Snoop Dogg had a mama. You could tell when people have parents or not. Yeah. Like you could look at some people and say, oh, that motherfucker ain't a parent. Because of how people act. Then you look at some people and say, look at that kid. Snoop is nice to everybody, no matter where he go. I don't care how little or big you think you are. Snoop is kind to everybody, and he ain't gotta be like me. I'm still talking to y'all because I ain't got my money yet. Wait till I get my money. I'm gonna go buy me some new friends. I ain't talking to y'all no more. Tell it to the chicken.
You're gonna be
talking. Sorry,
you're gonna be everybody. You better stop it.
I love people. I love people. People are shit.
Definitely. That's why you're on Black Culture right now. You're a people person, my brother.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Man, you've done so much. Just in case y'all ain't know, he's been in Norbit. He's done Martin. Come on, y'all know this genius boss in Martin, okay? Just in case you
didn't get it. Right.
All right. Talk about all the gigs that you've done, and which one was your favorite one? Which one was your favorite one?
Well, my favorite is my newest that's out now on BET+. It's called Holiday Heartbreak. You know, because I've done like 38 films, but I've never been the star of one. This is the first time I am number one on the call sheet. So I'm the star of this film. I carry this film. Right. AJ Johnson, who played Tyrese's mom on Baby Boy, she plays my wife. Lisa Ray plays the woman who put the voodoo spell on me. Huh? Yeah, and then she put a spell on me that connects to my daughter. So my daughter gonna fall in love with the first fool she run into. That fool is Country Wayne. So it's a cold movie. I get to fight. I can get my daughters back. I can break the spell. It's awesome. It's on BET+. It's called Holiday Heartbreak. And biggest role I've ever had. Biggest responsibility. That's probably my favorite thing. And my second favorite was the animation, The Princess and the Frog.
Oh.
Have you ever seen it? Man, you got to see. Man, I'm telling you, you and everybody in your family got to see it. Okay. Every Black person should see The Princess and the Frog. It is an amazing film, a great story. Whoopi Goldberg plays the character. Keith David plays the character. Anika Nani Rose is the princess. This is the first time that Disney ever had a Black princess. It's the first time that Disney ever did in a feature film. Huh?
Was the Black Brandy was a princess.
Brandy was a princess in what?
She wasn't a princess on Disney?
In an animated series?
Oh, not in the animated
series. Tell me what that series was. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. My character, I play the cook. I was Buford. I was like, yeah, you gonna get your own restaurant, and I'm gonna win the Kentucky Derby. That was like one of my favorite parts. But of course, you know, you can't go wrong working with Eddie Murphy. You know, when I did Norbit, just working with him, just watching him work was just magical. And of course, you know, Martin. There's nobody like Martin. Martin's a little young genius, still is a genius, and he knows how to treat people. And I mean, but I've done a lot of shows. My greatest thing I haven't done yet, brother. You know, I still got many projects. Every day I'm going back out to Venice Beach and shooting that as an hour special where I started, you know. I have 3 or 4 new projects we're writing right now. So, you know, we never know, but you always see me. I'm like San Wafe, I'm everywhere.
Definitely, man, that's 100% fact.
Yes!
Now, you came up, you were actually before some of these comedians out here like Bernie, Steve Harvey, Cedric.
Well, I was before Steve Harvey and Cedric and them, but I came up with Bernie. Yeah, Bernie and I was doing the same, was around the same time. And, you know, Bernie was killing them in Chicago. And when I left, Bernie was already, man, Bernie was something special. Wasn't nobody like Bernie Mac. He was very special, not just a great comedian, but a great man. You know, he had integrity. He was a black man. You know, he loved his family. He was just, he's the one who got me on Def Jam. I got on Def Jam because Bernie Mac told them to put me on that show. I didn't even know it existed. He told me about it. That got me on the first season. I was so good on that, they put me on 4 other seasons, you know. Bernie, when I had my one-man show on BET, I mean, my late-night talk show on BET called BET Live from L.A., Bernie was the king of comedy who came to visit me. He was the first. He didn't have to. All those guys was huge. And he came. And he's like, my. I mean, he was on a show and praising me that I had the show. And he was, you know, some people want you to do good, but they don't want you to do good as them.
Absolutely.
He wasn't that kind of guy. He was the kind of guy who wanted to see you excel. He knew it, he had to worry about him. He knew he's going to excel. So he wants to see you excel as well. Bernie was special. Bernie's very special. Cedric and all the other guys, they sort of come up looking up to me when they started, you know, but not Steve. Steve came out around the same time as me, maybe even a little earlier. Yeah, he bad boy.
Now, let me ask you this. This is the progression that they had, and I know your journey's a little bit different because you had a struggle with crack for about 23 years, right?
That wasn't struggling. I was getting fucked up. No. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
but now that you're still, because you're still here, my brother, and you're still, you know, you didn't go anywhere. You're still here very much.
Oh, brother, I'm also very relevant, brother. I'm working all the time. I'm killing them. I'm creating, I'm living, I'm loving, and I'm healing, baby.
Okay? And making that shmoney.
All right? Sir. King, king. Oh, I got sound effects over here, too. You in my studio right now.
I'm at my match tonight. Now, Michael, now how was it, though? How was just kind of, you know, just being in this? How is it now, I'm going to say, being in this industry and seeing that you're around and they're still around, but, you know, but knowing that you're still kind of pushing towards getting to your final destination?
It's fine. I'm still on my same journey I've always been on. I mean, I wished that earlier I would have made other choices, then I would accelerate it quicker. I'd love to have $100 million. Mm-hmm. You know what I'd do if I had $100 million? I fucking quit. Yeah. I quit. I don't work here no more. I'm going shopping. Catch me at the store. But, you know, the things in life that are most important don't cost no money. Mm. There's a lot of people got more money than me, but ain't nobody having more fun than me. I'm telling you that right now. So I'm sitting smack dab in the middle of my dream, man.
Yes.
You know, I'm in a home I love. I have a great woman. I do what I love every weekend. I'm somewhere doing comedy shows. I'm always being put in movie parts here and there, but plus I'm writing a new movie, a drama that's going to kill people. Plus I'm doing the special on Venice. I mean, I do what I love to do. I do 3 shows on the internet. So I do my morning show 5 days a week. Every Wednesday I do superstar interviews. My last interview this Wednesday was with the great motivational speaker, Les Brown. It was life-changing, brother. It was crazy. I had John Sally on like 2 months ago. He came on to talk about how he's a vegetarian and he has a great marijuana farm. And his daughters both own their own dispensary. On that same show, Garrett Morris, who's the first brother on Saturday Night Live, and he's on Two Broke Girls, the show called Two Broke Girls. He came on with a blunt in his hand and told jokes for an hour. So I'm interacting with all these great stars, and I'm doing what I love to do. And then every Thursday, I read books to the children. Oh! Yeah, me and my puppet Roscoe, because Roscoe is the host of my puppet of my the reading show every Thursday at 11 a.m. on Instagram. It's called Reading with Mr. Mike, and Roscoe is the host. Nope. This dude. Oh, this is the only jersey.
Oh,
the only jersey. Yep, the only one. The only one. Yep.
That's right.
Why?
Yes.
I don't know why. Well, no. Why is your lips moving as much as mine? Shut up. Anyway, he's the host of the morning show that we do on Thursday when we read to the kids at 11. So I read one book. I'll do a couple of poems from Shel Silverstein. Then I'll give away books. Like this week, I'll be giving away this book, Love to Exercise. So I'll read that to the kids about exercise. I'll give a book away. I may give a puppet away, you know. So we do that as well. So I'm doing those three shows. I'm doing weekend concerts all over the country, man. I'm doing film, I'm doing television. Well, I need another me. I need to clone me. So, and sooner or later, one of those things is going to be the hit to take me to another level. But I am thrilled at where I am, brother. Who is the richest? He who is content with what he has. Really? I'm already content. Now, am I tickled? No, I'd love to be tickled. But I am quite content, brother. I'm very happy what I do now, how I live now, you know, how I eat. I live well.
Definitely. Man, it looks good on you. You don't even got to tell us, see it on you. You know what I'm saying? Man, I met you, I don't remember me, but I met you at the film festival years ago. And was always just so smitten by the way that you were a people person. And you know, at the festival, you see the same every day. And every time I saw you, just always engaging with the fans and the people, and everybody went to take a picture with you, and everybody, oh, I know you. And you just engaged with everybody. And that's a testimony to say, you just never know who's watching. You know what I'm saying?
You never know
who's watching.
That's why you got to take pride in your work, brother.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's all I'm saying. Is that guy coming again? What the hell? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I had to get you on the show because you are definitely, to me, one of the original kings of comedies. You know?
Thank you, brother. I'm honored you invite me to come on, man. Thank you, man. And I'm hoping that your fans slide on over and check out my morning show, because it is crazy fun. It's really fun. My co-host is an amazing comedian and an actor named Christopher Richards. And he's also now the producer of the show. And we rock it. 5 days a week, brother. It's off the chain. Then we have gifts. We have giveaways. We got a contest we do every Wednesday called I Love My Job. So what you have to do is you send in your name, your phone number, and your job to the Michael Kaya Morning Show at gmail.com. That's all you got to do. Name, phone number, and your job. And then we put all the names in a hat. We pull out one name and we call it. Okay. Now, if you pick up the phone and say, I love my job. Whole basket full of shit. You win money and candy and incense and books and everything. But if you be like, hello, no, your ass didn't win. No, but you say, I love my job. So we call three names on a Wednesday and we do gifts. We had a cussing jar, but I stopped cussing on my show. So it was like, if I cuss, I had to put money in the jar. If my guest cuss, I had to put money in the jar. Then when the jar got full, then we would let people who are watching win the jar. But the jar might have $70, $60, $55 in it. Then I say, I'm going to add $50 to that. Then the people watching would jump in. Somebody say, I'm going to add $45. Then my friend Ro J say, I'm going to put in $100. Somebody say, I'm going to put in $100. Somebody say, okay, I'm putting another $50. So like the day before Thanksgiving, a lady won $1,076 from the cussing jar. You know, I mean, she didn't get up that morning knowing she was gonna win money. She certainly didn't think she was gonna win $1,000. And all she had to do is guess the closest to it. They've won 701, 600, 500 and something several times. So we do giveaways, we have contests. I'll have you on and something to come up and I'll say, okay, who's the person on this show did that for 25 right now? And whoever puts the answer up, I cash them $25 right now. You know, so they can go get a sandwich for the day. You know, so now the Mike Kelly Morning Show is the bomb. It's really excellent.
I see and I hear. Okay, first of all, I need to tune in and walk with some money.
You need to tune in and win that paper, player.
Okay, I definitely need to do that. Man, Mr. Michael, before you go, I want to play a game with you.
I ain't going nowhere, nigga.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just joking. I got to go. I ain't around here playing with you. I just want to show you once again. That's Roscoe, and that's the show we do when we read to the kids in the morning. He's a star and he a diva. Okay, what kind of game you play?
It's called Levels, all right?
So the called what?
It's called Levels. It's a game that we play on
both. Oh, Levels. Levels. Okay. All right. Okay.
At all.
All right, go ahead.
It starts at Superstar, then it goes Superstar. Iconic.
Iconic.
And then Legendary.
Oh, God. Well, I'm all three of those. So how do we play this game?
I'm going to start naming some people to you, and you tell me if they've done enough to be a superstar, iconic, or legendary.
All right, go ahead. I'm ready. I'm ready. That's a good one. This, you know what? That's good enough for the double chicken. All right, I'm ready.
Yes. All right, let's jump with this. Let's start with Mr. Chris Rock. Where in the stratosphere does Chris Rock fall?
Whatever the highest is. So that legendary?
That's legendary.
He's the highest. It doesn't get much better. He's the cream of the crop. You know, he is such a sharp gentleman. He's so smart, very witty, organized black man. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Dope. Okay, so Mr. Michael is definitely a fan of Chris Rock. If y'all want to play the game, please comment below. Legendary, iconic, or superstar in what they've been able to accomplish. Okay. Next one, Mr. Kevin Hart. Where does he fall in the stratosphere? Superstar, iconic.
I don't know. Are you going to go by, are we going by how much money they made or what they've accomplished?
Michael Jackson is a legend. You understand? There's no question about that. You understand? Okay.
So I would say Kevin Hart's a superstar. I would say he's a superstar. I think iconic and legendary denotes something else. It denotes the major things you've accomplished. He's accomplished a lot of things. I don't know if I would say above superstar, though. Icon, you have to really define icon, you know? Mm. Icon is a certain statue that you obtain that has nothing to do with money, you know? And, of course, legendary is also about what you've attained over a period of time that makes you rise up above the rest, you know? But he's definitely a superstar, you know? He might think he's the other two. I ain't gonna argue with him. I'm just saying, if you ask me, Nick.
Agreeing. They said superstar. Somebody said true, true. Via Leah said true, true, superstar. They said superstar. I agree. They said Michael Jackson is in a league of his own. That's definitely legendary.
Because when you start talking about legendary and you talk about Michael Jackson, when you talk about Michael Jackson was the best of the best of the best in his lifetime. So you got all kind of people saying they was the king of pop. No. There was Michael Jackson, and then it was all the mother motherfuckers, okay? He stood so far above everybody else in his field. That's the same thing with Broadway. There's theater, which is regional theater. That's theater all around the country, different cities and states. And then there's Broadway. Mm-hmm. Broadway is like 100 times better than regional theater. Mainly, it's more money put into it. So there's more concentration on its excellence. You know, I mean, these kids in regional theater, man, they can kick up in the air, man, and kick their forehead and do it with grace. But on Broadway, they can levitate on Broadway. What?
Michael Jackson's iconic, and I think that's out of place. If the highest is legendary, I think legendary is higher than iconic.
I think he's both, though. I think he's iconic and he's legendary. I mean, I think to be clear, we need to define icon, because if there's ever been an icon, it's Michael Jackson. You know, I mean, if you went in the dictionary and looked up icon, you see Michael Jackson's picture.
That's 100% facts.
So we're talking icon, the definition.
Are you Googling it right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I love Google. You can find anything
you can
on the internet. I found one of my cousins on here the other day. Definition. Okay, now I gotta get my eyeballs because you know I'm a senior citizen. I'm 64, but I don't feel a day over 59. Okay. The icon definition is a personal thing regarded as a representative symbol, you know, or worthy of veneration. So a person is so great at what they do that they symbolize it. That's an icon. Michael is clearly an icon.
And then what's legend? Google, what's legendary?
Okay, all right, okay.
Legendary.
I did have to mention my picture was on that first one. Okay. Like Umboldt, and I haven't accomplished the financial wealth that others have. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you, I'm iconic and legendary. Described in or based on legends. Remarkable enough to be famous and well known. So I'm thinking you're going to need to flip them. You had to go from superstar to legend to icon. Because I think icon is the highest in that group. Yeah. That's what I think. Ask your folks, what do you think is highest in that group? Icons? Oh, what do I have on? I have on my robe, you know, it's my robe I wear when I'm on the show sometimes. My Laverne and Shirley robe, you know, I got my little name on that. So I got my robe, but I'm also wearing my bow tie because it's formal night. I was watching the Academy Awards when I had to come in here and do this interview. I'm still taping the rest of it. So the Academy Awards night, I usually have my champagne glass, but I don't drink. So I put some juice in that. And I get my little bow tie, you know, and I get fancy. Usually I get fancy, but I just came in from doing, you know, sold out shows in Greenville, South Carolina. Next week, y'all, I'm doing four shows in Greensboro, North Carolina at the Comedy Zone, you know, but I just got in today. So I came in, man, I just wanted to put on my robe, and I forgot today was Academy Awards. When I found out that's what it was, I circled everything around TV, got on my formal bow tie, cut on the Academy Awards. So that's what I'm wearing. I hope I answered that question. Yes, that's fancy. Thank you.
Now we all right. Let's get to one more in the category. Mr. Eddie Murphy. Where we rank him?
The highest of the heights, brother. He's a icon. He's legendary, you know, and way beyond just being a superstar. He's like smoke on water. He's the best of the best. He's one of the most unsung and underrated artists of our day. The boy is bad. He did everything. I mean, he was the one that inspired me. So when I started, like, 84, 85, Eddie Murphy had already done 48 Hours, Trading Places, the first Beverly Hills Cops. He had saved Saturday Night Live. They was about to close Saturday Night Live down. Mm-hmm. He came and became the star. It became the hottest show on TV. He also, at that time, had an album called Raw and a concert tour called Raw. He did all that. He was 23 years old and could wear the hell out of a red leather suit. No. When you talk about that, brother, you talking about the best of the best. He's the best of the best.
What happened to everybody being triple threats out here? Being able to be comedy and be an actor, a dancer, a musician. Now that really exists.
I don't know. I'm a triple threat, and there's a lot of artists that are. You know, I can sing, dance, and act. I'm doing a one-man play where I do all of that. Oh, my one-man show is called Michael Kaya's Mama. I was trying to see if I had a flyer around here for that. I didn't know how much stuff we were going to talk about or how much time you had, but I do a one-man play that's going to 100 cities, and it's called Michael Kaya's Mama. If you like your mama, you're going to love this play.
Michael, I better get to nobody.
But that's the morning show.
Okay. And where can we see this at?
Huh? The morning show?
Yeah.
Morning show is on YouTube.
Okay.
You just put in the Michael Kaya morning show. That's on YouTube. The play I'm taking to 100 cities. I've done 8 cities, but then COVID hit. So I'm going to wait for stuff to lift up so I can start getting back into the theaters. That's a live play. But, you know, Triple Threat really relates to theater. It doesn't really relate to comedy. But you could be a triple threat in anything if you do at least 3 things. But generally, when you hear the term triple threat, that means you sing, dance, and act. That's what triple threat normally is. And a lot of people still do all of it. Eddie did it. Eddie sang. Eddie did comedy, Eddie acted, he wrote, he directed, you know. He showed a lot of us what it's like to be fly as a comedian, you know. I mean, wasn't no real fly black comedians before him. You know, it's all older dudes. You know, you might see Cosby, or you know, you see somebody who can be somebody's daddy. And then here come this slick fly brother at 20. Thank you, baby. And this is the playbill for Michael Kaye's mama. That's the play I'm doing, The 100 Cities. Oh. That's my mama. That's Marilena Smith.
Mama?
That's my mama.
Your mama looked young.
Little sweet potato. Yep. She was born in 1930. So, yeah. So, yeah, no, yeah, that was good. That was good. Come on, give us another one. Give us another one, man.
Oh, you want another one? All right, so let's.
Yeah.
Okay. How about Beyonce? What are we feeling with Beyonce?
Come on. Once again, she is iconic. If you don't know that, you have to go and watch her documentary about doing Coachella.
Homecoming.
Homecoming was great, but Coachella was next level, brother. Coachella was next level. And she might be the biggest act Coachella ever had. And the New York paper said that she was bigger than Coachella. And if you watch the documentary with her doing it, watching how she came from just getting through having a baby, so she's kind of fat, and had to work out every day to be in shape for it while she's working everybody else out, while she's picking all the lights where everything's gonna be put together, where every costume is. She handled every aspect of it and then turned it out. Oh my God, it was amazing. No, she's clearly iconic. I met her when she was 20. You know, and you know, she was still singing with the girls, but she's amazing.
Yeah,
she's absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Now, through your years, you've been able to meet so many. Tell us your most funniest encounter with a celebrity that you remember.
Well, you know, I've got one encounter. Stop that, Thori. Don't do that. You want to go out?
As your dog?
Well, he's over here sniffing the thing which is covering the water, like he's trying to look for something. Does he have water, Mama?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to back up when you're doing that game, because you didn't say Jay-Z. And I think that Jay-Z is a superstar, but I don't think that Jay-Z is legendary or iconic. And I think he will get there. He's accomplished a lot of stuff financially.
Well, why I'm going to have to debate you on that one. Why is he not?
Okay.
You're iconic.
I don't know. I think there's more that he has to accomplish as an artist to be able to own those mantles. You know, I mean, he's sang some great songs, man. He put down some really nice songs. Tell me, what is his legendary album? The one that's the most legendary.
Reasonable Doubt is definitely, but it's not even me. It's the fact that he's able to give us Rihanna, the fact that he's been able to give us Rock Nation, you know, Rockaway, all of these things that are cultural, iconic moments.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I thought Puffy was Rock Nation.
No,
that's Jay-Z.
Yes, Jay-Z is Rock Nation.
No, I'm not saying he's not wildly accomplished. He is. I mean, when you talk about business, he's done all kind of amazing business things. But I'm thinking, Thor's doing good. Thank y'all. Thor's doing a lot better. My dog had a seizure. And you know, we almost lost him twice. He had a seizure this Thursday and last Thursday. We foamed at the mouth, you know, fell to the ground, couldn't move, couldn't catch his breath. You know, so, I mean, the folks who follow the show, they know our Thor is beautiful. But he's doing really good right now. Is he okay? Mama, is he okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, so. Oh, okay. So, I don't know. I don't know the Jay-Z. Ask your audience, what do they think?
Audience, what do y'all think? Y'all think Jay-Z's iconic, legendary, or superstar?
Somebody said, and I have to agree there, getting Beyonce makes him a legend, at least.
Come on, he's ready. Hey, but Michael, he started his own streaming platform, Tidal. He's been able to accomplish a lot.
Wildly accomplished.
Wow.
Awesome artist. No question of it.
You know what I'm saying?
I think we start talking iconic, though. Like you see how DMX got to be iconic?
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't accomplished as much as a Jay-Z has. But his accomplishment because of his stature of who he is as a person and what he presents on the street, what he presented as himself, despite the fact that he had to go back and forth to jail, went through addictions. His level of accomplishment is so great. And now, and I'm not judging any against the other. I'm not saying DMX is better than Jay-Z. I ain't saying no silliness like that. Jay-Z is a bad motor scooter. Trust. On a scale of 1 to 10, he's 15. Easy, you know? But I just think you have to, there's some, have to be some major thing you do that takes you through the ceiling and makes you iconic. Huh?
Where's Rihanna? Where would you put Rihanna?
I would put a superstar. I would even go as far as saying the kind of stuff she did might be legendary. Mm. Not iconic. And she kissed his hat. I still got a little mark that I haven't cleaned all the way off yet. It's kind of red right here under that blue line where she kissed my hat at the Image Awards. I wouldn't let people clean it for the longest. Yeah, I'm a big Rihanna fan. I could watch Battleship 20 more times. You know, when she had to run and get the big cannon and blow the alien over the ship, man. But I don't know if I would say iconic. I would say legendary.
Mm.
Definitely super, 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 superstar. No question. Okay. You know? Yeah.
She's a superstar at the highest capacity.
Yeah. Like Bernie Mac was iconic.
Bernie Mac is iconic.
And he never achieved any of the things, the money and stuff that the other kings of comedy made. Nowhere near what Steve Harvey is doing,
mm-hmm.
but he's iconic. Bernie Mac was iconic because of how he carried himself, what he did, what he accomplished, how he treated people. It's how people saw him, the kind of awe that people would see him in, and even to this day, you know?
Got it. And then one more, Whitney Houston, this guy, Alonzo Jackson.
Absolutely iconic, legendary, and any other platitude that you can give her. She's all of that.
To meet her.
Oh yeah, I met Whitney, and Bobby's my friend. So yeah, I met Whitney a couple of times. I don't know. I didn't know her, nor was she sat with me and hung out. But I met her a couple of times. I wish I had a conversation or two with her. That would have been great. Because she was truly great. Definitely an icon. Definitely an icon. You know, like Bobby. I don't think Bobby's iconic, but he's definitely legendary.
Definitely legend.
He might even be iconic, though.
No, Bobby Brown is iconic. Come on.
Yeah, he's probably iconic. Because he's up there.
And married Whitney Houston. Like, so I feel like that immediately cements you.
I don't think so. I don't think it gets you there because you're marrying somebody else who's great. I think you have to ride on your own greatness. You have to stand in your own integrity. You have to stand in your own power to have to be the icon, you know? Yeah.
But I feel like them together was so powerful, and there was such a force. Everybody wanted to see what was going on, and even mm-hmm. though they didn't have, like, it wasn't like a talent thing, it was in the stratosphere, Michael, in terms of two stars coming together, and it propelled both of them, right?
Well, yeah, and they made them both great, but Bobby is a wonderful cat, a great artist. But Whitney is next level shit.
Mm.
Whitney is next level. I'm telling you, there's theater and there's Broadway. There's Bobby Brown. It's Whitney, nigga.
It's
Whitney. Whitney was all of that, man. You know, Whitney was really, really, she's really top shelf, man. And I mean, Bobby is too. Bobby's a great guy, but.
Well, there's only one Whitney, absolutely.
And it's not, you won't find many vocalists that attain the level of iconist that she is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We will never get that. I've been waiting for us to find a new Whitney or find someone reminiscent of her, but the industry does not choose to put talent in the forefront no more.
I don't know. I mean, we always want to blame stuff on the industry and other things. Everything is always us.
Mm.
It's not ever anybody else. Nigga, it was you. it was you the whole time. Whatever happened to you, nigga, it was you. You know, it's me. If stuff didn't work out, it wasn't because of my addiction or because of who I didn't know. Maybe it's a combination of all that, but it was me. I'm the reason shit didn't work out the way I needed to work out. It was me. And that's a very terrifying thing to come to the realization of. But when you come to the realization of wherever you are is because of you, it's sobering. It wakes you the fuck up. And so that means that it's on me to turn it around. Mm-hmm. Like, I ain't mad at other people who have surpassed me, who came up after me. I ain't mad at them. More power to them. I want them to succeed. When anybody succeeds, everybody succeeds. I want them to go on and do theirs. But I ain't mad at them because it ain't on them to get me mad. It ain't on my mama or my lover or my puppy or my teachers or my people. It's on me. If I'm going to achieve, it's on me to achieve. It's on me to figure it out, do the things I need to do, get in the right places, talk to the right people the right way. All that's on me, man. You know? And so, y'all, I mean, it's always easy to blame it on the devil. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, motherfucker. It was you. You know? So we can always say, all right, this the reason, that's the reason. You're the reason. Definitely. I'm the reason. You know? That's all, really.
That's it. Man, Michael is on here dropping gems. He's doing the all right? So make sure y'all pay him. He's dropped his Cash App.
That's right. Y'all can follow me. That's $ Michael Collier's Money. Don't be stingy. The world loves a joyful giver, but I ain't on here to get no money. I'm here to get people to come to my show. So y'all just come and see my morning show, the Michael Collier Morning Show, off the chain, all the time, plenty of comedy, plenty of fun. That would make Ike and Tina Turner an icon.
Absolutely.
Tina Turner.
She is iconic. Wait, Michael, we can't hear you. Wait, your volume, we can't hear you. We can't hear you. I can't hear you. We cannot hear you. Wait, can y'all hear him? I see you, but I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Wait, hold on. Let me see what's going on. Why is this doing this? I hate technology sometimes. Can you hear me? I can't hear you. We going, okay. Well, they said, no, they can't. Did he mute us? Oh, yeah, no, we can't. Nobody can hear you. They said nothing but the devil can. What? They crazy on here. I'm not sure what happened, Michael, but we'll do it like this, Michael. Thank you so much for coming on. And you were a gem. You dropped gems, and we're going to see you soon, all right? All right, everybody. Mr. Michael Collier. Ah, man, I had a good time with him, and that was a dope interview. Thank all y'all so much for coming on. I had a great birthday. It's my birthday, and I appreciate this live. I had a great time. I'm not sure what... Oh, he's calling back. All right. That's not, hold on. Michael wasn't playing. Okay. It's about to... Wait, hold on. Let's see. Michael's calling back. Let's see.
Wait, nigga. I'm back.
Oh, wait.
Sometimes you have to go out and come back. I just want to say goodbye properly, man. Happy birthday to you, brother. I felt like it was a birthday gift to me. I enjoy sharing this time with you, man, and to your viewers. And I just hope your show just grows and grows and grows, man. You're a nice young man. It's a pleasure to meet you, man. It's a plum pleasing pleasure. The chicken even likes you. I'll see you again, friend. And thank you.
You're not going to be a stranger on the show, and we're definitely going to have you back on here soon. You are dope, and I would love to keep continuing the conversation.
All right. God bless you, brother. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. See you.
All right, y'all. So that was Michael, again, just doing a proper goodbye. Man, he's legendary. He's iconic. He's everything, man. Make sure I get into Michael Collier. He's someone that's been in the game for, come on, like since the 80s? But we in 2021 right now, so what, 30 years? So we're going to make sure we put some respect on these people that be working out here, okay? That's 100% facts,
Yes. And we're going to make sure we cherish these people, our black kings and our black queens that have paved the way for us to have opportunities. All right. Make sure y'all follow me. It is free. Okay. And they'll charge for that. It's free. And make sure y'all go watch my last video. I just did my birthday class and I had such a dope time. I danced with some of the dopest dancers in New York City. So I appreciate all the love, all the support. Michael, it was love. And I'm going to see y'all later. I'm your boy, Jersey. This is Black Culture The Breakdown. See y'all later.